Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, which can be found on page 191 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work, then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Freshman year of college. It can be tricky, can't it? The curse of your freshman year of college stays with you for quite a while, doesn't it? Now, I don't mean the freshman 15, because that can happen to stay with you for a while, too. I mean that curse of all that knowledge that you have taken in during the first 6 to 8 weeks of freshman year. We have a couple of our freshman college students here today. Don't make the same mistakes that I made, okay? Please, listen carefully. I know that you have been at school now for, give or take, 2 months, 8 amazing weeks in which you have gone from a sort of solid high school senior to this outstanding college freshman, and we know that you know everything now. Has anybody ever been a freshman in college who came home and realized how much smarter they were than everybody else they had left behind? I mean, I have no idea what this is like, but I hear that it can be a problem. There's this experience that we have in college that all of a sudden, both in our freshman year and beyond, and it doesn't stop there, does it? There's this experience that we have in which we get this base of knowledge that our world is expanded, and all of a sudden, something phenomenal happens. We go from having a smaller world to an even bigger world. We go from understanding a little bit of who we are and how we fit into it, and then finding ourselves and meshing ourselves into a bigger and bigger world. And it is also true that we know more from going to school. It is true that the freshman in college who comes home for Thanksgiving does know a bit more than they did when they left. But those of us who have been on the other side of freshman year know that there's a lot more to learn. A lot more to learn about themselves, a lot more to learn about the world, and a lot more to understand about how to bring those two things together. Now, there's this interesting thing that's happened to us in the last few years, or not few years, the last 30 or 40 years, and there's been a change in the way we access information. And part of what is going on in college and in high school and in all ages of education is that there's been this dynamic shift that people no longer need adults, professionals, to teach them, to give them information. We're still indebted to teachers, we're still indebted to professors for many reasons. Passing on of specific practical professional knowledge is part of it, but on the whole, you don't need another person to access information anymore because of what? Because of the internet. Because of things like Wikipedia. Wikipedia, when it first came out, was a no-no in research papers. Wikipedia today is written by the people who write the research papers. There are professionals that take it upon themselves because they don't want misinformation about their favorite research point of interest to be misinformation to be shared. And so they put it all together on Wikipedia to set the record straight on the most interesting things that Wikipedia has to offer. So this interesting thing has happened to us that we no longer need others to access information, but we do need others to help us interpret and filter information. Because as much as we can learn on our own, as much as we can read on a screen, or as much as we can take in from a professor's lecture, we still need the professor to help us interpret that information. We still need the adults around us to help us filter the information. It's one thing to learn something, it's another to make meaning of what you've learned. And so we find ourselves in this information age that is both a blessing and a challenge. It's not a curse because it's reality, so it's a blessing and a challenge. We have all this information inside of us, and sometimes, especially the younger we are, and I know a thing or two about this, but the younger we are and the more we're just taking in the information, the more we struggle to do something positive with that information, which can lead to these awkward moments around holiday tables, around the Thanksgiving table, when the college students amongst us or the older people amongst us, it doesn't matter who it is, it's knowledge is indiscriminate on some level, might try out sharing a piece of information that they have head knowledge about, but they don't have heart knowledge about. They might get the facts right, but they don't know how it's going to impact the life around them. And so when we find ourselves at the holiday table, Thanksgiving, around the corner, and Christmas to come, we have this interesting difference in the way we relate to one another these days. And as much as the information and the way we process these things and the way we share these things has changed, the way in which we're called to love one another hasn't changed. The way we deal with this information makes loving one another potentially more difficult and more challenging, but it doesn't change the fact that we're still called to love one another, and we're still called to love one another when we gather around the holiday tables, when we find ourselves at table with friends and family. We're called to love one another, and this isn't something that's new. This is something that is eternal. This isn't something that comes about just because we get information differently that we now know all of a sudden we're supposed to love one another. It's something that God charges with us. It's something that God calls each one of us to embody in all moments of our lives. We're meant to love one another in every moment, but especially when we find ourselves at the table. Now, the Apostle Paul, the gentleman who wrote a bulk of the New Testament, and indeed the one who wrote the book of Galatians, calls this call to, this call to love, he calls it the law of Christ. And in specific, it's fleshed out for us in this part of Galatians as an encouragement to bear with one another, to bear the burdens of one another so that we can be there for each other in life's most difficult moments. As you heard a moment ago, the Apostle Paul shares with the people of Galatia, this church that he had planted, that there has been a shift in the way they're supposed to relate to one another. Previously, there was a sense in which they were looking at each other's actions and trying to ask themselves, how can we or how can the community around us improve the way that the other person is living? Pointing out their flaws, pointing out their problems. But yet, in fact, the reality is that Paul was encouraging them to live into a new law. That is the law of Christ. And the law of Christ was not new to them, but it was coming in a new way to them. Paul was encouraging them to bear each other's burdens so that they might fulfill God's call on their lives to love God and love others. And they were struggling with this. That's one of the hard parts of the New Testament, is that when we read these letters, especially the ones that Paul has written to these churches, we get one side of the story, but we need to remember that the part of the story that we're seeing is in response to a struggle that they were having. It seemed as if that this church in Galatia was forgetting how to love one another. They were forgetting how to bear each other's burdens, and they were getting trapped up in keeping up the law that they had lived out before, as opposed to the new law of love that God had given to them. There was this shift, though, that they were experiencing it as well. And they had some new information that was changing their lives and changing the world around them. And that particular information was that Jesus had come, and that Jesus, as the Messiah, had redeemed the entire world. And that the law, in particular the law of Moses that they were trying to live up to before, had been superseded by this law of love, by the call to bear each other's burdens. And so they were trying to figure out, what does this mean? How do we do this? What does it look like for us as this church to care for and to support one another when it's not going well? And Paul encourages them to bear with one another, to not put the faults of the person across the table from them ahead of their own, to not put the burdens of their own lives ahead of the burdens of others, but rather to share with and walk alongside with one another, to recognize the burdens that the other person is carrying, to try to lead with love in their lives so that they might experience God's love more deeply, so that they might experience God's love and reconciliation in their lives. And so Paul leaves the church in Galatia with this letter, this encouragement to bear one another so they can fulfill the law of Christ. And that same message and that same call that God has given to the church in Galatia then is still the one that God gives to us today. That we are called to bear with one another and bear the burdens of one another in all moments of life. Now, it's also true that when we get to the table, we find an opportunity to bear the burdens with one another. It's another way to think about the ways in which we encounter one another as we come to the table in these days to come. It's really easy to get tripped up and caught up on the differences that are easy to see, and we need to be mindful of those, the ones we can see, the ones we can hear, the ones we can observe in people's lives. But there's also a lot more than meets the eye when it comes to the lives that we lead, isn't it? There's a lot more that we don't know about the other person's journey, perhaps, than we do know. Now, if you're looking across the table at your spouse, you probably know more about their journey than most. But guarantee, I'm guessing there's going to be somebody that you're going to be at table with over the next few weeks where you think you know something about their journey, and the reality is there's more there than you know. And so when we go into these situations, we want to remember that as we lead with love, we support one another. When we find ourselves confronted with the burdens that other people are bearing, whether it's the burdens that we all bear together or individually, God calls us to be people of love in those moments. Now again, this is, I think, one of those places in the scriptures where it is easier said than done. It's one of those things that in seminary they warn you, don't obscure the plain meaning of the text. To which I say, sometimes it's not so plain, professor. And again, here we are in the moment where it's not about access to information that is the difficulty. The Bible's there in front of you. The Bible's on your smartphone. The Bible's on your coffee table with the coffee cup on top of it. You're allowed to move the coffee cup and open it up yourself, by the way. But the reality is, the question is not what does it say, but what do we do with it? And how in these days do we indeed bear with one another? How in these days, when the tough get going, how do the tough stay at the table instead of get going? What is it that we can do to help one another in these moments? What does it mean that we want to bear with one another? Well, one of the realities of our world today, of course, is that just because we know more doesn't mean we have to say more. Just because we know more doesn't mean we have to say more. We know a whole lot more today than we did before. There's more information in one Sunday paper than people would have accessed in their entire lifetime in eras gone by. The reality is, just because we know more doesn't mean we have to say more. And perhaps the opposite is true. Just because we know more, we should say less. Don't worry, I take my own notes seriously. But the reality is that just because we have access to this information doesn't mean we have to use it. And especially because the earlier we have access to this information, the more we need help making sense of it. So especially for those of us that might be a little bit on the younger side, let's keep this one in mind first and foremost. Just because you know more, just because you've got 8 weeks of college under your belt, doesn't mean you have to say more. Additionally, one other thing to maybe keep in mind about how do we bear with one another in these times is don't take the bait, because it can wait. Now, these do rhyme, by the way, in case you're like, he's rhyming. I'm aware of this. Don't take the bait, because it can wait. Now, this, I think, is particularly helpful in the holiday season. I'm guessing that at one moment or another, whether in this week or in weeks to come, you're going to be finding yourself across from the table with somebody that you disagree with. You might find yourself across the table with someone that you agree with on most things, but there's something that just grinds you, that you just can't get over with them. At the holiday table, when we're celebrating family, when we're celebrating friends, don't take the bait. It can wait. Now, this past summer, I found myself in one of these situations where the bait was right there. I don't fish, but it felt like, I'm not a fisher person, but it felt like I was a fish almost caught on a hook. It was dangling out there, and there were these two family members having this conversation in particular that I wasn't excited for my kids to hear, and I knew that they were wrong. This does happen on occasion where people are wrong. You can say people are right and wrong. I knew they were in the wrong. I knew they had misinformation. I knew they were conflating things that weren't to be compared or conflated. And the reality is, that was not the moment to engage them. All I said was, can you please not have that conversation in front of the kids? They stopped the conversation. I didn't take the bait, because it could wait. And I still have those relationships open and alive. At some point, I will need to engage them in a loving, careful, and thought-out conversation about those topics. In particular, not what they believe, but what I'm okay with my kids hearing and not hearing. But the holiday table probably isn't the place for that. You can do it on Black Friday. I mean, that day's a mess anyways, but just wait till Friday. And the last thing, and I borrowed this from a pastor that I listened to, Andy Stanley. He says, remember to prioritize the you, not the view. Remember that when we bear with one another, the you across the table is more important than the view inside of you. And I think that's so helpful at all times, but especially in this season for us as people of America. The reality is that there are a lot of views out there, and the views are important, but as we bear with one another, let us remember it's the you in front of us that is more important than the view inside of us. When we prioritize the you and not the view, we help bear the burdens of the person across the table from us. And that's what God calls us to do, is to lead with love, to remember that when the tough gets going, the tough don't get going, the tough stay. And to remember that God is calling us to be people that love in all moments, and especially at the table. Amen. Please pray with me. God, we thank you that you are a God of the table. We're grateful that you are a God who calls us into relationship with one another and that you call us to bear each other's burdens in all moments of life. God, as we gather around the table in the week to come and in the season to come, we ask that you continue to give us your sense of grace and your sense of the law of your Son, the law to love you and love others. As we seek to advance your purposes in this world, gracious God, help us, indeed help us, to bear each other's burdens. Help us to lift up one another on the journey so that we might find peace and hope in this season. We pray for this and all the things you call us to be about. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.